I'll come back to that story later. Luke chapter 1. Does anybody need a Bible? Okay. There's just one down here, Lisa, for Sue. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks a lot. Okay. So if you come with me to Luke chapter 1, we're doing just this series in December on the real Mary. Okay, the real Mary, to help us reflect on Christmas. So if you come with me to verse 26, Luke 1 verse 26, says this. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin, pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now, understandably, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus, and he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end." "And how will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. When was the last time you read that passage? Was it last Christmas? I don't know. What is the connection you make between that passage and the story about Rosa Parks, who refused to give up her seat? Share that with the person next to you if you feel so inclined. You might like to just meditate upon this by yourself. That's fine. But share it. What's the connection between the passage and the clip of Rosa Parks? Go to it. Okay, friends, I shall make the connection soon, and I'll be interested if my connection is your connection between those two. But can we just very briefly ask Jesus to be our teacher? Let's talk to him. Jesus, we gather around you. We gather around a classical piece from Scripture, this ancient but very contemporary, inspired word of God. And we think of Mary, and we ask Jesus, help us to gain insight from her life for our lives. And may you make that connection by your Spirit in our hearts, in your name. We all said, amen. Amen. Okay, friends. On Thursday last, I hopped on a plane, Air New Zealand, of course, Owen. and I hopped on a plane, and I flew down to Wellington because I had an all-day, all-night board meeting. Can you imagine? Well, not exactly all day, but it went from 3 o'clock in the afternoon to 9 o'clock at night. I'm on the board. It's a national entity in this country. And so I got down to this board meeting. It's only my second time I've attended this board, so I'm a new board member. I don't know exactly why I was asked to be on this board. There are judges and high-powered lawyers and so on. But anyway, miracles, nothing is impossible with God, so we've read. So I'm on this board. And it got to about 8:30. And our discussion at that point in time was how in this particular organization, they had gone through quite a bit of staff changes and restructuring. Do you like that word, by the way? Restructuring? No. So this organization had gone through quite a bit of restructuring and the like. And they were reflecting on the changes in their staff. I felt at that point to say something. So I said to this board that I was new to, I said, look, I was not a party to those decisions. I mean, this is only my second time here. But I said, is there any sense in which you as a board need to apologize for anything? Thanks, Dale. So I said, you know, was there any bad process? A bad decision? Were people unfairly treated? Unfairly hurt? Because that can often happen, yes? So I said, do we therefore, as a board, need to apologize? And there was just this stunned silence in the room. And I said, look, I was traveling down this morning on a plane. So this is what I said to them. I was traveling down on a plane this morning, and I was reading the true life story of a man who had Lou Gehrig's disease. Are you familiar with that? Lou Gehrig's disease. That is where every muscle in your body begins to die slowly and painfully, one muscle after another. And so this guy by the name of Ed Dobson, he had Lou Gehrig's disease. And he was getting to an age of about 80 plus, and his body was just a skin bag full of pain. And so he was starting to reflect on his life. And as he reflected on his life, he recalled a time when he was a CEO of an organization some decades earlier. So this is what I'm reading as I'm flying down to this board meeting. And as he reflected on his time as a CEO, he recalled a time when they underwent a restructuring in his particular organization. And as he reflected on that, it came to his memory that he had unfairly treated someone. So he said to himself in his early 80s that he was going to track that person down, find where she lived, go to her in his early 80s with a body full of pain and asked for forgiveness. So he got the address, boarded on a plane, and went to her address, knocked on the door. She answered the door. He got down on bended knee. And he said, I am so sorry for mistreating you all those decades earlier. Will you forgive me? So I shared that story with the board that I was with on Thursday. And I said, why do we have to wait to the end of our lives to do this stuff? Why can't we do this stuff at the end of each year? So I said, we as a board are coming to the end of our year. Do we therefore as a board need to apologize to anybody? Can
can we make a gutsy decision? Are you with me? And you see, when I read the story about Mary here, oh, I like her. Do you like her? But I reckon so many people have got the wrong picture of Mary. So I want to share a picture with you of this lady called Mary. And these are the facts. Probably when this occurred, she was aged 13. Some scholars have her at 16. So that's the range, 13 to 16. Probably around about 13. She's betrothed. She's engaged. Now, in the culture in which she lived, to be engaged, you are considered husband and wife. But you can't have sexual relations until the wedding ceremony. So it's slightly different from our Christian culture. When you are engaged, you're legally considered husband and wife. But you can't have sexual relations until the actual ceremony, the wedding ceremony. Now, she was engaged to be married to who? Tell me. To Joseph. And as we're told, she hadn't had sexual relations with Joseph. And then, most unexpectedly, she gets a visit from an angel. Now, I don't know whether you believe in angels. If you do a Google search on angels later this afternoon, you will discover that there are hundreds of thousands of people that believe in angels. They don't believe in God, and they don't believe in Jesus Christ, but the angelic websites are in there. I mean, there are numerous. A lot of people believe in angels. She gets a visit from an angel called Gabriel. And the angel says, "You are most favored." And then the angel goes on to say, "You will have a child." And of course, she then says, "How can that be? I haven't had sexual relations with anyone." And then the angel says, "The power of God, nothing is impossible with God, will overshadow, will overwhelm, overcome, come over you, and you will have a baby." And what was her response? What was her response? It's not a rhetorical question. What was her response? Beg your pardon? No, we've already done that, Emma. You're a bit behind the times. But what was her response? "May it be unto me as you have said." Now, most people, when they read that, when Mary said, "May it be," do you know the picture of Mary that they get? Wow. Mary. What a delicate flower. What a pious, divine, passive, surrendered, hands off, "May it be unto me as you have said." That is the usual picture of Mary. I would like to differ. I actually think that Mary was quite a different creature. My picture of Mary goes like this. Mary knew that if she was going to have a baby, and it wasn't because of sexual relations with Joseph, more than likely, when the evidence of the baby would surface, and people could see that she was going to have a baby, but without sexual relations with Joseph, she would be held up on a charge of adultery. In her culture, the Torah culture, the Old Testament culture. And by the way, in her culture, if you committed the sin of adultery, the penalty, according to Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses 23 and 24, was what? Death. And prior to them inflicting the penalty of stoning till she dies, she would have to undergo a certain test. And do you know what this test was called? The bitter waters test. Numbers chapter 5. It's a book in the Old Testament, the Torah culture. She would have to submit to the bitter waters test. What was that? If she was suspected of committing adultery, they would grab her, drag her to a public place. They would take all her jewelry off her. They would rip the top shirt from her, exposing a breast. Then they would pass to her a cup of water mixed with dirty dust and forcefully get her to drink it, believing that if she was guilty of adultery, then in some sort of curse slash supernatural way, that dirty, filthy drink would bring about also, or more than likely, her death. Now, here's my point. And then there'll be the final stoning. My point is this. When Mary said, may it be so, she knew that the bitter waters test and the stoning could be her lot. So you ask me, what kind of person is Mary? She was gutsy. You know, some people, they have this idea that Mary was this godly person. She was, but she was gutsy. Some people have this idea that Mary was sort of a tender creature. She was tenacious. Some people have this idea that Mary was surrendered and serene. Look at most of the pictures. She was surrendered, but she was spirited. Do you like her? Would you marry her? Some people have this idea that, you know, like Mary, she was kind of, meek and mild. Look, people, she was muscular. Yeah, a bit of reaction over here, that's good. I mean, this woman, she was one tough cookie. And she was a gutsy decision maker. And that's why I liked that video clip of Rosa Parks. Rosa Parks, when she said no, she knew the consequences. She knew she'd go to prison. She broke the law. She believed she knew the law was legal, but not moral, not good. And so she made a gutsy decision. Do you like it? And it was a Christmas story. And this is a Christmas story. And Mary, she makes a gutsy decision. That is so helpful. She made a gutsy decision. And I started to think the other day, I thought, what is a contemporary story? I mean, Rosa Parks was back in the 60s and the 70s. What's a contemporary story? Have you heard the story of Malala? Charles, it's all right. Love the sound. No, honestly, it's cool. Cool as. have you heard of Malala? You have, actually. Let me tell you the story of Malala. When she was age 9 in Pakistan, age 9, contemporary story. She decided as a 9-year-old to put out a script. She would write a script on the offenses of the Taliban in her particular area. And she put the script out that she wrote on BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation, on BBC. And as a result of that, what she was writing became known to who? The Taliban. A ruthless bunch of people, the Taliban, and not pro-women. She did that at the age of 9. She knew what would happen to her. At the age of 12, she'd been doing it for some years. She went out and wrote on this BBC script. She said, "I want to be a doctor when I grow up, but I know the Taliban will never let me be a doctor, and I grieve over this." This is what she wrote. And she continued to do it at the age of 13. And at the age of 13, a man in the marketplace came up to her and just said to her, "We will kill you." And she knew they meant it. But she didn't stop. She made a gutsy decision and carried on writing for the BBC. And then when she got to the age of 14, she was on a school bus. The bus was stopped by the Taliban. Two gunmen got on, asked for her by name. And when she put her hand up, she knew what was about to transpire. They hauled her off the bus and put a pistol to the back of her head and shot her. You know the story. Some of you do. This happened very recently. As a result of that, the Pakistani government, they gave her a passport to fly quickly out of Pakistan. The Pakistan Airways gave her a free ticket to anywhere in the world where she could have an operation. She was flown to the United Kingdom, where she is currently. But when I read that story, I thought, there is one gutsy girl, just like Mary. Absolutely. And so this is my question to us this morning. Rosa Parks made a gutsy decision. Mary made a gutsy decision. Malala, she made a gutsy decision. Is there one final gutsy decision that you need to make this year? Now I've got you. And of course, at this point, some people say, Oh, Mick, give us a break. We can't wait for you to have that holiday in January. Is that right? You didn't have to agree. Okay. And I'm going to be fair. I'm going to be fair this morning. I reckon what I'm talking about this morning does not apply to some of you. So I am going to let you off the hook. Did you know? And I'm going to draw the dots up soon. Did you know that there's a guy by the name of Bimaster? He's a preeminent social psychologist today. And he conducted an experiment. Stick with me on this. You'll like it. He put a bowl here of radishes. This is true. And over here, he had another bowl. And he put a bowl of chocolate fish. By the way, I love chocolate fish. Anybody here like chocolate fish? Whenever I go to a cafe and I say, "Oh, I want a long black," I always say, "Oh, have you got a chocolate fish? Do you do that?" I do. Anyway, so this guy put a bowl of chocolate fish here. Then he got two different groups. And he put one group in front of the bowl of radishes. And he put the other group in front of the bowl of chocolate fish. And he said to both groups, "You are not allowed to put your fingers in the bowls. So you guys here, you are not allowed the radishes. And you guys over here, you are not allowed the chocolate fish." And so both groups exercised their willpower, resisted. Now, while they were resisting, this social scientist, this social psychologist, he started just sort of casually giving them mathematical equations to solve while they were resisting. Are you with me thus far? So, started dealing out mathematical equations to this group, mathematical equations to this group, and then he wanted to find out who gave up quickly or early on the mathematical equations. Who just gave up quickly before anybody else? And here are the results. Was it this group over here who had to resist the radishes? Boy, some of you are looking at me thinking, where's Mick going with this one this morning? Was it this group over here with the radishes, or was it this group over here with the chocolate fish? What do you reckon? Tell the person next to you. Okay, guys, it's a difficult one, I admit. Here are the results. The people who gave up quickly, just gave up on the mathematical equations, were the ones, to a person, standing behind the chocolate fish. And what he diagnosed in this was this. You see, which is harder to resist? Come on! It's a no-brainer. Is it the radishes or the chocolate fish? It's the fish. And so this group over here, they were exercising a lot of willpower. And you see, in his research, he's come to the conclusion that willpower, the ability to make strong, gutsy decisions, is a finite commodity. In other words, after a while, it runs out. And I know some of you here, all year this year, you've had to make some gutsy decisions and you can't face another one. And in a sense, your willpower has run out. You've got no more juice in the tank for gutsy decisions. Is that right? If that's you, you can switch off now. You can just think about what you'll have for lunch soon. If that's you, I let you off the hook. That's right. But there are some of us here, and we need to make a gutsy decision still, before the end of the year. Do you know, there is a person seated here amongst us this morning. It's a person I respect. And I know that this person, this past week, has made a huge gutsy decision. I mean, they resigned their job. And in today's climate, that is no easy thing to do. But before the year was out, they made a gutsy decision. Do you know this last week, people? Ruby and I didn't plan it this way, honestly. You've got to trust me. But Ruby and I, we've been wrestling with a really gutsy decision for about how long? A long time. And it was a financial one. We felt that we had to clear half of our savings. For us, it was a huge amount to help out a family member. And we postponed it and postponed it and postponed it. You know how you do? But we just knew this last week we had to nail it. For us, I mean, it was just a gutsy decision. Now, I don't know, guys, about some of you here. Is there a gutsy decision that you still have to make? I mean, it might be like Ed Dobson that we talked about right at the beginning. And you might need to go to someone and apologize. And you keep putting it off. It may be that you go to a neighbor and you do something new with your neighbors. That's gutsy in our culture. It might be for some of you that you sell your batch and give the proceeds to the poor after Christmas. I think it was actually Glenn. I once did something on radio a number of years ago, and I said to Glenn, actually, I said, do you know of anyone who's sold their batch? I think it was you or someone from Tear Fund told me that, yeah, that there had been someone in the Tear Fund circles who actually took that seriously and sold their batch and got $76,000 for it and gave the proceeds to the poor. That is a huge gutsy decision. But for some of you, the gutsy decision might be to buy a house. And I know some of us have recently. And well done you. I mean, I don't know what your gutsy decision is, but is there still one gutsy decision that you need to make before the year is out? Have you heard of the 9 out of 10 club? The 9, are you a member? By the way, I just joined the Cozy Club. And I just joined the Cozy Club because I want to take our neighbors somewhere. That's a bit of a gutsy call. But have you heard of the 9 out of 10 club? The 9 out of 10 club is, and I don't know if you remember, is where you make gutsy calls, gutsy decisions in 9 areas of your life, but there's always one area where you don't do it. So you're in the 9 out of 10 club. So for some of us here, do we need to make a gutsy decision in one area of our lives before the year is out and not postpone it till next year? Don't have this, oh, someday, some way, somehow, I'll get around to it. Those people never invariably make their decisions. You know, on Monday night, Ruby and I, we have to speak to a whole lot of business people in the city at the New Zealand Yacht Club. I had to go and buy a shirt yesterday for the occasion. I sort of don't have the right kind of shirt. The organizers even volunteered to give me, you know, the appropriate clothing. Stokes. Anyway, so we're going to front up. A lot of the people there will not be Christian. So I'll be saying to these business people on Monday night, do some of you need to make a gutsy call around making Jesus your new hot topic of research? And maybe there's someone here and you need to make Jesus your new hot topic of research. But maybe you have. You've nailed that decision, but you haven't surrendered your life to Jesus. You know about Jesus, but you haven't surrendered your life to Jesus. Maybe that's your gutsy decision. Have you got a gutsy decision in the tank? I'd like us to close our eyes. Could we all close our eyes? I just ask Ben and the crew to come up here. Let's just be still. I'm going to pray a prayer. Jesus, you are vitally interested in each part of our lives. We know this. And Mary, who was in one sense your mother, but in another sense your disciple, she knew how to make a gutsy decision. And we want to be like her. We want to follow her example. So Jesus, in this time of stillness and quietness, I ask for the help of your Holy Spirit. I ask that, Jesus, you would send your Spirit in an intense, intrusive way. And help us to see if there is one final gutsy decision that we need to make before year's end. So you be the truth teller, Jesus, in this moment of stillness and silence. I thank you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So let's just be still and quiet.
Stay in your seats as we sing this song.
Wait.
Oh.